Good morning, Rabotai. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. We are in the second pasuk. Last class, we spoke about how a person is able to have someone they care about feel secure. One of the ways we spoke about is that a person gives shevach. Shevach means they give praise and compliment. They see the good in the other and they somehow broadcast that message. The message could be broadcast in words. It could be broadcast in body language. It could be broadcast with feelings. When a person feels that the other one, when a child feels that his parents, or when a husband feels his wife, or vice versa, when they feel that the other person values them, they value who they are. They value the things that they're doing in life. That person develops what the pasuk says, batahba. The person develops a security. And that security brings on tremendous energy and power and victories of life. This is actually the way we begin our Amidah. We said in the last class that one of the ways that Hashem created in this world where we're able to get the goodness out of people is when we show them value for that goodness. When we praise and we recognize the goodness in them, it actually makes them want to use it. One of the great examples of this principle is the famous prayer of Hannah. Batitpalel Hannah. The famous prayer of Hannah, if you learn the beginning of this prayer, you will find that Hannah talks about all the great praises of Hashem. See? En kadosh kadonai, there's no one holy like Hashem. Ki en biltecha, there's no one beside you. Ve en tzur keloheinu, and there's no strength like there is of Hashem. And if you look at the entire tefillah of Hannah, you will find that it's all praises. Only towards the end does Hannah ask and make a request. And we follow that same pattern in our Amidah. Before we ask Hashem for all the different things that we need in life, the beginning of the Amidah begins with Sheva, with praising. Because the rule of life is you can't expect to get from somebody. You can't expect to bring out the goodness of somebody unless you show value for that person and their qualities. So before we can expect Hashem to use His goodness on us, we have to recognize and value His goodness. When we do that, it opens the button. It opens the conduit of Hashem's goodness being used on us. We find that when Am Yisrael was in the desert, it says they sent messengers to the king of Edom. The message was, Ko amar achicha Yaakov, Israel, excuse me. Am Yisrael sends a message to the king of Edom saying, this is what your brother Yisrael wants to send you. He tells him, Ata yadata, you know, talking to the king of Edom, you know, et kol atela'a asher metza'atnu, of all the troubles that we've experienced. We went down to Egypt. We were there for a long time. Vayare'u lanu ha-Mitzrayim, and the Egyptians, they did better us, v'la'avotenu, and to our forefathers, v'nitz'ak el Adonai, and we scream to Hashem in prayer, v'yishma kolenu, and He listened to our voice, Vayishlach malach, and He sent an angel. Vayotzi enu mimisraim, and He took us out of Egypt. He says, Vehine, and now, behold, Anachnu beKadesh, Ir Ketze Gebulecha. We are now in the city of Kadesh, which is a city on your border. Na'berana be'arzecha. Please, can we pass through your land? Lo na'avor besadeh ukerem. We will not pass through a private field or through a vineyard. Ve'lo nishteh me'be'er. We will not drink water from the well. Meaning we're not going to take anything of yours. Derech ha'melech nelech. We'll take the road of the king, whatever way you tell us, we'll take it. We will not veer right or left. We're not interested in conflict, and we're not going to take anything of yours. We just want to pass. The king of Edom, when he hears this message, his answer to Moshe Rabbeinu is, Lo ta'avor bi. You cannot pass through my country. Pen b'cherev etze likratecha. Meaning, if you pass through my country, I'm going to come out against you with my sword. This is the conversation the Torah reports. When Am Yisrael was in the desert and they wanted to pass by the country of Edom, of course, Edom is Esav, and the conversation that took place. Hazal teach us that there was more depth to this conversation that the Torah is reporting. Seemingly, it was Am Yisrael asking, and he told them with a threat, don't you dare, I'm going to come against you. And Hachamim revealed to us that there was something deeper in the request and something deeper in the answer. In the request, what was the point? When they said, we screamed to Hashem, and Hashem heard our voice. What does that have to do with anything? Why are they telling the king of Edom, that they prayed to Hashem, and Hashem heard their voice. What does that matter to him? That's something you would tell your students. It's something you would tell your children. You want to build emunah in Hashem. You want them to pray. What does Edom care if Am Yisrael prayed to Hashem and he heard their voice? So Rashi Alav HaShalom says, when Am Yisrael told the king of Edom that Hashem heard our voice, Kolenu, very interesting way of saying he heard our prayer. It should say, Vayishma et tefilatenu, or Vayishma tzaakatenu. But it says he heard our voice. That's really not the point. It's not the voice that he heard. It's he heard the words. He heard the prayer. So comes Rashi and says, when it says he heard our voice, Beberacha sheberechanu abinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the king of Edom, we have a blessing from our father Yitzhak. He blessed us when he told us, Hakol kol Yaakov. When Am Yisrael was blessed, Yaakov Avinu was blessed by Yitzhak. Those words, Hakol kol Yaakov, this is the voice of Yaakov. Says Rashi, She'anu tzo'akim, which means our voice is such that when we use it to pray, v'ne'ainim, we get answered. So Am Yisrael was sending a message to the king of Edom about why he should be afraid of them. Because we have a unique call, a unique voice, a voice of prayer, that Hashem, when he hears it, he wants to help us, he wants to answer us. I guess we have a certain voice that projects emunah, a voice that projects bitahon, a voice that projects ahava, a voice that projects warmth. You have a certain voice. It's not just the words that come out. We were blessed that our voice has such power that it reaches kavyachol, the heart of the Creator. You know, just like a person who has a certain voice of song, sometimes a certain voice is able to reach the heart of the listener and turn on certain feelings within the person that they wouldn't have had if someone else would just say the words, or they would just read the words, or if someone else would even sing the words. It just doesn't do it. But a certain voice sometimes is able to reach a very deep place in a person's heart and somehow can make feelings come about. Well, we, Am Yisrael, were blessed, says Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what he threatens Edom. Be careful, not from our missiles, not from our intelligence, not from our strategies. Be careful. Imagine the one threat
that he told the king of Edom. Not that we destroyed Amalek. Not that we left Mitzrayim destroyed. That's not what's going to be the biggest threat. It's amazing. And the biggest threat he could think of telling Edom, he's not even talking to someone who appreciates prayer. And I guess even Edom could appreciate the call of Am Yisrael. It was a known power of the Jewish people. So he told them, be careful. We have an awesome call. We have an awesome voice. A voice that stirs the Creator's desire to help us. Our prayers that come through our voice are unique. So be careful. Edom, what was his answer? He told them, "Pen b'cherev etzem v'kratecha." Esav says to him, "Hazak u'baruch, you have the beracha of the call that you got from Yitzhak Avinu. Well, I have a beracha too." He says, "Atem mitga'im b'kol," says Rashi. You're taking pride in your great voice. Amazing. By the way, just reading this. Amazing how powerful prayer is. All of us need a hizuk. We all need to strengthen our prayers. Just because we have a call doesn't mean we're using it. Person can have talent that stays dormant. But you see the power of prayer, a sincere tefillah that comes from the heart of the Jew is so powerful. It could change realities in life. It could change the realities of our nation. A heartfelt prayer is a gift that Hashem gave our people. So powerful to realize what we're capable of when we're sitting and praying. When we're in the Amidah, standing and praying. We have such a power. Esav says to Am Yisrael, you have the power of the voice. Va'ani etze alechem. But I also have a bracha. Also from Yitzhak Avinu. We also are blessed. He told me, ve'al harbecha tihyeh. Your life will come through your sword. You will have the power of the sword, the power of weapons. And you will live through your power. So this was a much deeper back and forth. Am Yisrael came with the power of tefillah. That's their most important weapon against their enemies. And Esav came with his most important weapon, the weapon of the sword. This is the conversation. It's a very, I would say, interesting and also educational conversation about the power
that Am Yisrael has. However, for today's purpose, for our class, we must ask a very simple, obvious question. When you read this, you're so taken aback by the depth of the conversation that you may forget to ask a most simple question. And that is the words that Rashi quoted, HaKol Kol Yaakov. Yitzhak Avinu said, this voice, this is the voice of Yaakov. Rashi says, Baberacha Sheberechanu Avinu. When Yitzhak Avinu blessed us with the words, HaKol Kol Yaakov. So anyone who reads that parasha knows that that was not a blessing. Very far from it being a blessing. That was the comment of Yitzhak Avinu when he was confused. He was confused because he told Esav, his son, to bring him meat so he could bless him. And when he came back, which of course was not Esav, it was Yaakov, but he couldn't see. So he was commenting in confusion. I don't get it. Who is the person who's standing in front of me? On one hand, HaKol Kol Yaakov. I hear the voice of Yaakov. Ve'hayadayim yedei Esav. And I hear and I feel the hands feel like the hands of Esav. Who is this person that is talking to me? This was not a blessing. What does Rashi, Alav HaShalom, mean when he says the beracha that we got from Yitzhak, HaKol Kol Yaakov, that wasn't a blessing. It was a comment. And even it was a comment that was a hashash. Yitzhak was suspicious that this person may not be Esav. Is that a blessing? Rashi knows that. Why does he say the blessing? HaKol Kol Yaakov. When Esav says, Be'al harbecha tihyeh, that's a blessing. That is what Yitzhak told him, that you will survive and you will live through your sword. HaKol Kol Yaakov, not a blessing. Vayomer Esav el aviv, Esav told his father after he already gave the blessing to Yaakov, he told him, you only have one beracha. Barecheni gam ani avi. Bless me also. And he cried. And Yitzhak told him, amongst other words, Ve'al harbecha tihyeh. You're blessed with the power of weapons. When you see Edom today with the powerful weapons, that's what they're good at. That's their blessing. Don't get confused. Our power is not in the weapons. We may have weapons, but that's not where we have our Hayim. That's not where we have our life. Yaakov Avinu, he did get a beautiful beracha in that story. Beautiful beracha that Yaakov gave him. Ve'yiten lecha Elohim. We say these words of beracha when we have opportunities to bless people. Yitzhak tells Yaakov, may Hashem give you mital ha-shamayim from the dew of the heaven, u'mishmanei ha'aretz, from the fats of the earth, ve'rov dagan betirosh, you'll have plenty of grain, plenty of wine, ya'avdu chamim, the nations will serve you, ve'ishtahavu lecha le'umim, and they will bow down to you, heve gevir le'achecha, you will be the boss over your brother. Beautiful. Orerecha arur. Whoever will curse you will get cursed. Umbarechecha baruch. Whoever blesses you will get blessed. Gorgeous. That's the blessing. So something is off. Hakol kol Yaakov Rashi brings as the blessing. Was not a blessing. I once saw a beautiful explanation to this question that has very much to do with our subject in our conversation. I saw this by the great, the late Mashgiach of Lakewood, Rav Solomon, alav shalom. He gives the most beautiful answer. He says it's true that this was not the conventional blessing that we think about when we bless somebody. He says this was a different kind of bracha. What does that mean, a different type of bracha? How many types of brachot can I give my children? We know the brachot. Yivarecha Hashem ve'yishmerecha. Hashem should bless you and watch over you. Hashem should make you like Ephraim and Menashe, successful like them. You should be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Ve'le'ah. She grew up to be like the Imahot. Should be Zoche, LaTorah, Chupa, Mitzvot, Ma'asim, Tovim. Yeah, many beautiful berachot. We bless someone, it should be a Hatan. We bless a girl to be a kala. We bless them to have children. We know what berachot are. It's like all those are conventional berachot. Where the person asks Hashem with the help of their mouth to bring blessings upon the person. Refuah shlema, it's a blessing. All those are conventional brachot. But this one is an unconventional bracha. It's not like the one that we're used to. How so? Rav Solomon says that when Yaakov Avinu was standing in front of his father, and his father thought that Esav was coming. And he even felt like Esav. But then his father said, but the voice, the call, this beautiful, unique voice, we think, Hakol Kol Yaakov, just means that he identified him by the tone of his voice. That's the simple explanation. Nothing special about his voice. Just an identity. Every human has their own unique voice. But no,
Hakol Kol Yaakov. This is the unique voice of Yaakov. Every person has a voice that's unique to them. If you go to the sound, there isn't one person. One of the great miracles of the creation, there isn't one person in the world from Adam Arishon till today that sounds identical, amazing. You could identify someone through the voice. So when it says, Akol Kol Yaakov, it wasn't, oh, this voice is connected to Esav, not to Yaakov. No! He was saying this is the unique voice of Yaakov. In what way is Yaakov's voice unique? In that he has this power of tefillah. The voice of Yaakov was a voice of compassion. It was a voice of warmth. It was a voice of tahanunim. You know, sometimes I've heard, I'm sure you have also, certain hazanim by the yamim noraim, by the days of awe, Rosh Hashana, Kippur, Selichot, the awesome hazanim, they have a nice voice. The awesome hazanim, they have a very loud voice. But then there are certain hazanim that have a voice that brings out the closeness to Hashem from within the person. It's a voice of tahanunim. It's not necessarily the most gorgeous, and it's not necessarily the most loudest, but it's a voice that brings out tremendous feelings and a tremendous desire to connect to Hashem. I know that in my life, I've heard certain voices like that. And when I have a chance to hear such a voice, I love to go and spend the tefillah with that voice. Again, not necessarily he's the biggest expert, and not necessarily it's the nicest or loudest. There's a certain voice that brings out tefillah in a very powerful way. When Yaakov was told, Hakol, this voice is Kol Yaakov. He didn't just say, Ze Kolo Shel Yaakov. That would just be, oh, that's the voice of Yaakov. No. Hakol, this voice is Kol Yaakov. Yaakov has this voice. It's the beautiful voice of Yaakov. The voice of Yaakov that is able to reach the highest levels of connection to Hashem. The voice of prayer. V'hayadayim. Yedei Esav. But I feel the hands of Esav. Rav Solomon says, when Yaakov Avinu heard how his father feels about his voice, when he heard his father say, whoa, that is the awesome voice that I appreciate, that I value, that is the voice that is able to reach the highest heavens. That is the voice of Yaakov. When he heard from his father's mouth how his father feels about his voice and the power of his voice, that was the biggest blessing to Yaakov. Because as we've learned, when someone, especially someone like your father,
values something about you, it becomes a blessing, because now you will rise to that value and you will use it and you will succeed with it. This is the blessing. In fact, this unconventional blessing could have been even more powerful than a regular blessing. Because a regular blessing is asking Hashem to send the blessing to this person, my son, my daughter, my student, my friend. Hashem, please bless them. They need a child. They need a shiduch. They need refuah shlema. Hashem, take care of them. It's a blessing that you have to wait for Hashem to give the person something. But this blessing is so powerful because it allows the person themselves to be able to produce with their own free choice. They themselves can do it. And it's powerful also because it's not telling the person directly. You know, when you give someone a compliment directly, there's an automatic suspicion on the recipient's part. What do they want from me? Did they just go to a class or something that told them about complimenting others? All of a sudden, my father gave me that compliment. Especially, it's not the way that it normally is communicated. When you give someone praise, compliment, and you tell them about something special that they have, usually it's going to be met with some suspicion. It's appreciated. No matter what, it's appreciated. But there's always a certain amount of suspicion in the person's mind. Even a little kid already is suspicious. What does he want from me? Sometimes the suspicion is 95%. Sometimes it's 50%. And sometimes it's 10%. Every time you compliment somebody, there is a suspicious person listening, saying, what does he want from me? Why is he telling me this? Is he trying to butter me up? Is he trying to make me feel good? Once there's a suspicion inside the person, so although he appreciates the compliment regardless, but it takes away the ability to act because the value that was given to him, he is unsure if it's real. So that's the problem we run into. If we go home right now and praise and give value to the people around us, it's nice and we should do it, but it may not have the powerful effect that it should, just because they don't really believe us. They have a doubting ear that says maybe there is some other factor here. They don't really believe what they're saying. They're just saying it to make me feel good. They're just saying it because they want something. So now you worked so hard to value and to give over praise, and it's really wasted. Again, usually nothing bad is going to happen out of it, usually, unless it's done in a really not smart way. But you don't get the value of it. You're not able to reach the kohot, the abilities of the person. But that's why this beracha is very powerful. The one that Yitzhak gave to Yaakov. Because Yitzhak thought that Esav was standing in front of her. So it couldn't be that he's trying to flatter Yaakov, because Yaakov was not the person he thought was standing in front of him. He thought Esav was standing in front of him. So Yaakov knew for a fact, 100%, that this was not for any ulterior motive, because it wasn't even said to him. He was talking to someone else about him. That brought 100% authenticity to his words. Authentic. When Yaakov hears authentic value from his father about him, what a blessing. Amazing. It's amazing to me, because if you look in the actual blessing of Yitzhak to Yaakov, he told him some wonderful things. I think they could have been shared with Esav. If you ask me, what should we tell Esav if we want him to be scared of us? Tell him, Ya Abdul Khamim, we were blessed that our nation should be served by the nations. Tell him, Ishtahavu lecha le'umim, they will bow down to us. Heve gevir le'achecha, you will be above your brother. What's wrong with those messages to Esav? The actual blessing. Orerecha arur, whoever curses you is cursed. Tell him that. It's amazing. I don't know if I have the answer to even this. It's such a big question. I don't know if I have the answer. But I do see, it's amazing, that instead of saying the conventional blessing that was so powerful and so relevant, you're talking to Edom, you're talking to Esav, and you're talking about power, who's going to be above the other. Perfect opportunity to go tell Esav, this is the beracha we got from the father. He didn't mention this at all. And he spoke only of the unconventional beracha. The unconventional beracha, perhaps, I'm saying this on my own, I didn't see the answer from anyone who asked this question. But perhaps the unconventional beracha was even more powerful, because it comes from within Yaakov Avinu. The power, you know, for Hashem to curse, Hashem has to curse. Hashem has to bless. Hashem is the one that puts someone above someone else. But the power that exists within the person, you don't even have to wait for Hashem, Kavyachol. You have it within you. It's there already. What Hashem gave you to do yourself is right there. It's right in front of you. You don't have to wait for Hashem to answer. Hashem sometimes answers in delays. He sometimes acts. There's patience. There's a certain system in Shamayim of how Hashem sends his blessings. But when the person has the blessing from within himself, it's a big difference if the guy has cash in hand or he has to wait for Hashem to send the cash. Hashem, when he sends the cash, he has a system of how he sends it. I have the cash right here. Yaakov says, I have the power of tefillah here. My father gave me this value, this koah. Perhaps that's why he mentioned that one over the other ones. I don't know. But nonetheless,
You see the power of this beracha. You see the power of someone who has been told about something valuable that they possess and they believe it 100%. It's a big challenge to get them to believe it. Because when you tell them, like I told you, they're automatically suspicious. But if we would succeed to tell our son, our daughter, our husband, our wife, if we would succeed to tell our student, and they, we would succeed that they should actually believe, that they have a heart of patience, a heart of kindness. They have the ability to pray with such focus. If they believe, they have that value. If they actually believe it, we're doing tremendous, tremendous miracles for them. Because it's going to be miracles that they produce within themselves. This is the bracha that Moshe Rabbeinu chose to tell the king of Edom. Be careful, Edom. We, Kolenu, we have the power of the beracha. Because Yitzhak Avinu relayed over to our father his value in that area. And he was 100% convinced. And it became a part of our nation, a part of our value system. It's like a person who has a home or a field, and the guy can't pay the rent every month. He's looking for charity, goes collecting a few dollars here, a few dollars there. He's not doing well in business. And then one day he meets somebody and says, "Oh, so where are you living these days? You must have a gorgeous home." He said, "Me? Gorgeous home? I don't even own a house." He says, "Barely. I have a piece of land." He says, "You barely a piece of land? I tell you, a billionaire." "I'm a billionaire? Inshallah, Be'ezrat Hashem, from your mouth to God's ears, as they say. Be'ezrat Hashem, Hashem will give me. In due time, Hashem will give me. I've been praying. Barechenu, every day I pray. Barech Alenu. I pray for Parnasa, inshallah, Be'ezrat Hashem. I know Hashem will take care of me." He told him, "What take care of you? He took care of you already." He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "You know, you're a field, what you have under there? You have a gold mine there. You have oil reserves over there. You can be putting out 1 million gallons a day from your reserves." All of a sudden, the guy, he says, "I don't believe you." I said, "If you don't, if he doesn't believe you, it doesn't make a difference what you tell him. But if he found the reserves, all of a sudden he's a rich man. It's not a rich that's coming. It's a rich that's here. Cash in the hand." That's what we do when we give someone a value that they have. When we recognize, we don't give them the value. When we recognize the value, we're actually giving them that value. Because what is the value worth if they don't know they have it? When I make someone aware of the gold mine they have, I'm actually giving them a gold mine. Even though they already have it, but it's worthless. This is the power that we have to be able to give to our children, to our spouse, to our students, to make them be aware of the qualities that they have. What an unbelievable way of living life, to bring out the best in the people around us. And as we're learning now, besides all that, besides taking out from them their greatness, they will also feel secure in this relationship because they will feel that we value them. So not only did we uncover for them something valuable they have, but they also see that we value them because we pointed out and we recognize their value, which makes them feel more secure. Security comes when I see someone values me. When someone values me, I feel secure. And then, shalal lo yahsar, tremendous victories of life are just a step away. They're a move away. This is the great, tremendous capabilities we all have. I'll end off as the Pasuk says, famous words of Shlomo HaMelech. We mentioned this Pasuk before many times. It could be explained on many levels. Matzref la kesef v'kula zahab. Says Shlomo HaMelech, when you want to know the value of silver, you got to put it in a matzref oven to be able to melt it so you know what's the real metal here. How much silver? The quality of the silver. The kula zahav, and the same. If you want to know the value of gold, is it real gold? How much gold? Is it 10 carat, 14 carat, 18 carat, 24 carat? What is it? You put in an oven called the kur. That's how you know the piece of silver or the piece of gold that's sitting in front of you. How do you know the quality? You can be fooled by the looks. See, there's a certain type of oven, a certain system that you're able to figure out what the real value is. Then says Shlomo HaMelech, Ve'ish. So you told me how to determine the value of gold, how to determine the value of silver. What about the value of a person? I have a person sitting in front of me. What is he? How do I know his value? I can't tell. He looks like a regular person. What is his true value? So says Shlomo HaMelech, Lefi Mahalalo, according to his praise. What does that mean, according to his praise? So there's different ways of learning, and they're all correct. One way of learning, according to his praise, means according to what he praises. What excites him? If a basketball game is being played and it excites him, that's what's valuable to him. If he's excited about giving charity, if he's excited about helping people, that's who he is. If he's excited about learning Torah, that's who he is. Whatever you see excites him, that's who he is. Lefi mahalalo. What makes him excited, that's his real value. Another way to understand it is, lefi mahalalo, the way people are excited about him. When you say his name amongst people that know him, measure their excitement. According to the barometer of excitement, that's how valuable the person is. Forget what they say. Measure the excitement, the halel. That's another way to understand the piece. But today for us, we can explain it a different way. Lefi mahalalo means see how he grew up amongst the people that cared about him and raised him. How was he praised?
How was he spoken to? Did the people that care for him, his parents, grandparents, his rabbis, his teachers, did they praise and value him? Did they make a big deal out of his honesty? Did they make a big deal out of his kindness, out of his wisdom? Did they make a big deal out of his voice, out of his tefillah? If you can have a little window into the environment that he grew up around, what was it? Mahalalo. What was it they were saying to him, about him? If you could find that, you'll see the real value of the person. The person who's valued as someone who is true value, the true value will come out. If someone is valued by those around them as something below, that also will come out. According to how you value someone, that is what you will be able to get out of them. And they will feel secure in that you see in them their beautiful, real values and will give them the ability to go through life and be victorious. This is something to add into our homes, into our relationships. It's not the norm. Like I said, normally we like to see the negative. Normally we like to comment when there's negative. We feel it's unnecessary to comment when things are good, because things are supposed to be good. But the negative is where we have to step in. But unfortunately, that is a recipe for failure. The recipe to produce great people, whether it's a husband or anyone else, is to find in them their goodness and qualities and bring out those values. Mention them, talk about them, recognize them, think about them, and you'll see the bracha, the blessing that that person will have because of your praise. Have a wonderful day. Baruch Hashem.